for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do praise you and we do thank you for your word, God. And right now, I just pray, Lord, that you would just take this time of the word, God, and that you would just speak through me. Lord, we just pray that you would circumvent all of my thoughts, all of my distractions. Lord, that you would push them out of the way and that your agenda and your word would go forth in Jesus' name. So God put on my heart something for me personally a few months ago to cut things away and to cut things out of my own life. And as I was praying for this message and for this word, God brought me back to that personal talk that he had with me, and he wanted me to share from John chapter 15. Jesus says, "I am the true vine. Abide in me." And we're going to talk about cutting. We're going to talk about what the Lord is cutting away out of our lives. We're going to talk about how to make 2019 truly special and impactful for us as a body of believers. So, that being said, we're just going to get right into it and start reading the scriptures. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Now Jesus here is revealing himself as the true vine. He says, "I am the true vine." This is the seventh time in the book of John where Jesus reveals himself with a visual picture using the language, "I am." Said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine." I don't know if I missed one or not, but look at this picture of intimacy that Jesus wants to have with us, that he wants to be fully understood and known by us, that he speaks to us not in boring language, not in just, you know, lecture and theory and this and that. He speaks to us in pictures that we can understand. God, our God is a God that wants to be understood. There's so many other so-called gods out there that make themselves so complicated and hard to find. But our God, the true God, is a good God who wants to be known, who encourages us to seek him out, who actually speaks to us in ways that we can understand. Amen? Isn't that awesome? That being said, the scripture that God was really working in on me was that fourth verse where he says, abide in me, for apart from me you can do nothing. So I prayed, I have been praying for this message, and it has been a very difficult and stressful week for me, and stressful month since, stressful year so far, right? And honestly, as I'm praying for God's revelation and to speak to you guys, I have been blocked and blocked in my spirit, and I could not, except for that one verse, abide in me, And I'm praying and I'm seeking God, and I'm trying to abide in you right now. And you know, this is the point when you're supposed to prepare your message, and you know, Pastor Mike is a good shepherd, and he holds people who come up and speak accountable, and he asked me for an outline in advance so that he can, you know, coach me and just make sure that it's in line with what the Spirit is showing him. And so, you know, there's a certain timeline that I should really get that to him so he can really pray about it. Mind you, I am blocked. Like, I am going through, like, some really stressful things in my life and at work and at home. And I'm trying, I'm praying, and you know, and Jesus is just saying, abide in me. And I just have a little bit. And what he has been saying to me is really just it brought me back to what he said in my spirit a couple months ago, that he's going to cut things out. He's going to cut things out that are getting in the way. So we're talking about abiding in Christ. So let's talk about the benefits of what we're going to get when we abide with Jesus. The first benefit I'm going to talk about is effective ministry. Does anybody want to be effective this year? Who wants to be effective in 2019? Amen? He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what's the setting? What's the scene? Jesus had just finished serving the Last Supper to his disciples, and this is his last formal teaching before he will be caught praying in the garden, and he will be captured, and the cross and all the events that lead to the cross start to take place. This is his last message to his disciples, and he wants them to know. He wants them to abide in him. He has told them that he would be going away to the Father, and that this is for their benefit because the Holy Spirit will come to them. And he says to them, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. And so this is a continuation of this speech that Jesus, this teaching moment that Jesus is having with his disciples. And now he brings in the picture of the vine. And he says, abide in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. He starts with the promise, you will do the works that I have done. In fact, you will do greater works than I have done. But before you start thinking that you can just use a formula and just do whatever you want with God, because he said that we will do the works that he has done and we'll do greater works than he has done, Jesus says, nuh-uh, no. You must abide in me. But he's already said that he's leaving. He's going to the Father. So what does abide really mean? We'll get to that. The second thing that abiding will give us is answered prayer. Does anybody want their prayers answered in 2019? Right? Do we got anything? Is anybody praying for something right now? Because, you know, this message will be totally irrelevant if no one, like, prays for anything. So, all right. So If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is reminiscent of this 37th Psalm, which says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So this abiding, this connecting with God, as we get to know the true heart of God and the true heart of Jesus, that's when our prayers become effective, because we start praying the heart of God. And by this, the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So God actually wants to answer our prayers. Amen? Isn't that awesome that we have a God that wants to answer our prayers? So we'll be effective in doing the works of Christ, and we'll have answered prayer. The third one, for some reason, I got skipped in my notes. The third one is fullness of joy. These things I have spoken to you, verse 11 says, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And I don't know about you, but I want this year to be full of joy. And Jesus says the secret to that is abiding in him. So what does it mean to abide? So what he's really talking about here is cultivating a personal, spiritual connection with Jesus on a daily level. He's not saying, you know, it's time for us to just be physically with the physical manifestation of Jesus, because he said already, I am going to the Father. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. What he's talking about is cultivating this one-on-one time with the Lord. And he connects abiding in him with abiding in his very words. And we're not talking about just memorizing scriptures and having head knowledge of God or head knowledge of the word, but we're actually talking about a deep intrinsic connection that is as close to God as the branches are to the main trunk of the vine. And without this deep connection, we will not really bear fruit. These are dead grapevine branches. And if you want these, you can get them at Michael's. This pack was $9.99. You know, in Jesus's day, these were only good for throwing into the fire, but in 2019, these are great decorative pieces for your for your house if you like to celebrate the dead. No, I'm just making fun. But now, let me just clue you in on something right now. You will not find this growing out of this. When I went down to Michael's, they only had two of these in stock, but I didn't find any of these two examples to be bearing any grapes. And then they had some of these were actually just bent into reefs, and none of the reefs had grapes either, so... So when we talk about abiding in God, and we are the branches, and so are we going to produce the grapes for Jesus, or are we just going to go on somebody's dining room table? I don't know. What do they do with this? I don't know. But if anybody wants some grapes, I got some for you after service. So branches that don't bear fruit, he takes away. So these were taken away from the vine, and they were bundled. Jesus recommends burning them, but Michael's will sell them to you. So, but fruit-bearing branches, he prunes. Oh, there we go. Just a little out of order. All right, so he's going to prune the fruit-bearing branches. And this kind of speaks to the fact that we can be fruitful and God could be working in our lives, but we still need to cut some things off. And so, like, I asked God, like, you know, what's the difference between the cutting? Because I looked into the wording, and if there was a difference between that removing the dead branches and pruning the fruitful branches. And really the only difference that I really got from the Lord was what side of the cutters you're on. Like, are you on the side that's close to the vine, or are you on the side that's being removed? just let that sink in. But so here's a picture of a grapevine, just like the different parts. So when Jesus says, I'm the vine, he's talking about this trunk and this cordon piece right here. See that cross? Right? And these are the shoots, the canes. These are the branches. These are where the fruit bearing takes place. So there's actually two times in the grapevines in the year that you're actually going to prune the grapevine. And that is late winter in the dormant season when all the leaves are falling off and you know, everything is kind of neat and clean. And that's when you want to, like, kind of prune everything. So you're going to remove dead shoots, dead canes. You're going to remove things that look unhealthy. And you're going to just get rid of everything that shouldn't be there during the season of rest. And then the next time to prune is actually going to be in the spring, just before the fruiting actually takes place. And that's where just like a really close, intimate process. And there's actually two types of pruning. So you cut at these little buds, or you actually cut the entire cane right off. So those are the two types of pruning. So when you get to the point where you're cutting the entire cane, that's God removing from the vine. But when you cut right here and right there, God is actually, so the vines will not produce fruit unless from new growth. So what happens is the shoots get old, but as you cut at these points, new growth grows out of the old growth. So there's a constant rejuvenation going on every season, and God has to cut back and let new growth come out of us. So I'm not an expert in this, but I did do a little research. There's a more colorful picture of it. This is the grapes. All right, so three areas that God prunes in our lives. The first area are the dead things. What are the dead things? These are things like unconfessed sin and ungodly mindsets. So it's important that God prunes us, because if you prune properly, your vine will be more manageable and have better fruit. Poor pruning year after year leads to low yields and poor fruit quality. So every once in a while, these vines, they get unhealthy, and a lot of times insects that chew on the vines will actually spread diseases. Like, I didn't realize this, but plants can get diseases and get sick. But apparently they spread these diseases and sicknesses into the vines, and the problem is, when the branch gets sick, like maybe gets sick up here, maybe the disease spreads down the branch, and if the vine dresser allows it to get all the way here, that's when it spreads and infects the whole vine. So you know, sometimes God has to cut us up here to get rid of some disease in our life, some sin, something that's not right. And hopefully he gets us right here, because if that spreads all the way down here, that's when we get cut off. I mean, you're talking like God has been working and dealing with you and being gracious to you, and he's out of options. He doesn't want to get to that point. But if he doesn't, because our God is a just God. He's a merciful God. He's a good and gracious God, but he's a just God. And if he doesn't care for his sheep, if he doesn't care for those other branches, you know, he's gotta do its best for the vine. So at the first sign of disease, you wanna cut that off. So 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So from time and time again, some sins are going to creep up. You know, I'm talking about in fruitful people's lives, sin is going to creep up. But that's where God tells us to confess that sin and to cut it off of our lives. You heard Jesus already say, you have already been cleansed by the word that I spoke to you. He's talking about that cleansing, that removing of sin, that removing of that of those dead branches or the dead parts of us. So it's unconfessed sin, but it's also ungodly mindsets. Romans tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And elsewhere, the Bible tells us to take every thought captive. So the thing is, we come to the Lord and we get these minds, like we might already have some mindsets that aren't of God. And, you know, God accepts us and loves us as we are. But as we mature in God, he will be doing a transformation process in us. And so some of these mindsets, this victim mentality, this orphan mentality, this, you know, all these different mindsets, maybe a greed mindset, a selfishness, God wants to strip those things from us. So God wants to remove the dead things in our lives, and you want to deal with this immediately. The next area, I'm going to call it busyness and strivings. So just before the fruitful season, what a lot of vineyards will do nowadays is they have a machine that will actually go up to the vineyard, go to each grapevine and kind of chop off the top layer, kind of like trim it all back. So basically the reason they do this is because if the grapevine is overextending itself, it can't produce as much fruit or as high quality fruit because all the nutrients and the life coming from the vine is being spread out too thin. So here we talk about, we have two examples from the scripture. The Lord answered Martha saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So if you remember the story of Martha and Mary, two sisters, both of them loved the Lord. And one of the sisters had a great servant's heart. And she was committed to serving the Lord. She opened up her home to Jesus and the disciples to come in, and she, you know, she got all the fine china out. She did, you know, all the extra cleaning when guests come. I mean, that's how I was raised, but you know, you know, you clean up for your guests and you serve them, you get them all the food, you just constantly bring out food. My mother-in-law does that all the time. From the first time I met them, just constantly bringing out food to us. It's just awesome. It's like, these are all great things. And if you're doing these things, especially in the name of the Lord, these are awesome things. Now the problem came in that she started to form a bitterness about her sister, Mary, who was sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his teaching. And so, you know, she decided that she's had enough. And so she went to the Lord and asked him to rebuke Mary for not helping out. And this is Jesus' reply. It's just, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And this is something that I've really been struggling with myself, is I'm anxious and I'm just worried and striving after so many things, things that I want to be responsible for, and I want to, you know, I just want to, like, fix everyone's problems. I want to just do this and do that, but the area that God is, like, really telling me to really focus in on, especially this year, is one thing is necessary. The psalmist said, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Now, you may have some things in your life that you're doing out of the goodness of your heart, out of what God is working in you. But when we become so busy and wrapped up in all those things, they could be good things. Maybe there's some fruit. Maybe you have some fruit over here, and then you want to get some more fruit over there because you're happy to serve the Lord. You want to get fruit, but actually you're bearing more fruit than you can actually sustain. So the quality of your fruit is really bad. Maybe you have some shriveled up fruit. It's not that your heart is in the wrong place. It's just you're missing the one thing that is important. And so when we get to that busy level of life where we're missing that one thing, and I really feel like I have actually hit that spot personally. And I feel like that was getting in the way when I was praying for this message, and all I got was that little bit. And I'm like, God, well, you know, this isn't like a 3-point homiletic sermon. This isn't like, you know, what am I have to give an outline to Pastor Mike, you know. And he's just saying, you know, just that one thing, just that one thing. And And I'll throw in this strivings where we try to do the right thing because we think we're going to be more blessed because of our good works, that we think we're going to earn favor with God. I think about when the mother of James and John went to Jesus and asked if when Jesus revealed his kingdom and his glory, that he would allow her two sons to sit on his left hand and his right hand. You know, she was praying to Jesus. She was asking Jesus to give her sons, you know, this place of prominence. And sometimes we get so bold with God that we think because we, you know, we've done this and that and this and that, you know, God, you owe me, God, you know. But when we get to that point, you know, that's another area, you know, that's that striving mentality, that this is that, you know, I'm going to earn my salvation. I'm going to earn the fruit and the rewards of God. And we got to cut that back because, you know, it's ultimately God will show mercy on whom he will show mercy. Ultimately, you know, God is gracious to those he wants to be gracious to. And sometimes it doesn't make sense in the natural what God is doing. And sometimes when we get into that striving, I'm going to do this, this, and that, and I'm going to prove myself attitude, you know, what comes from that, and that now you start comparing yourself to other people, and you start weighing your actions versus another person's actions, and you start really just, you start missing, you know, that personal time with God because you're spending more time focusing on how you stack up versus other people. So God's going to cut out the busyness and the strivings. This is that, you know, extra stuff. On the surface, it might not really be that bad, but it's not really helping. It's just wasting our energy. It's wasting the fruitfulness that we could be having with Jesus. But the last area that I feel like God prunes, and so dead things, I feel those are pruned immediately. Busyness and strivings, I think that's pruned right before our most fruitful season. And then right after a period of great fruitfulness in the dormant season, God is going to prune the area of pride in our lives. So listen to these words of Paul written to the church of Corinth. This church was very proud. This church thought very highly of themselves. They had the gifts of the Spirit at work. So Paul is speaking to them, and he's giving them an example from his own life that they can follow. And he says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations," so Paul is just going on and on about how, you know, God gave him these great revelations, and he's sharing them with the churches. He's preaching the gospel. He's seeing people become saved and people come to know God in deeper and more intimate ways. How many will agree that this is a period of great fruitfulness for Paul, right? So after all this fruitfulness, it says, "A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" So out of a season of great fruitfulness, and I hope to God that each of us in this room will experience even a fraction of what he just described, of that level of fruitfulness. But out of this great period of fruitfulness, when you think, you know, here is someone who is close to God. Here is someone who has it together. Here is someone that, you know, when they speak God's word, miracles happen. When they move, you know, like when Peter was walking and just, you know, his shadow fell on people and they were healed. Just this kind of level of anointing and just, we look at people like this and we're so just in awe of people. But really, they're just people. Really, they're just a vessel that God uses. Really, Paul is just, we're all equal at the cross. And after a season of great fruitfulness, even someone like Paul has to be pruned. And he has to be reminded to be dependent on God. And that brings us back to the very beginning where Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. For apart from me, you can do nothing." I am the true vine. Abide in me. So we have the vine, and look how it grows like the cross. Look how what the picture is of Jesus providing life and sustenance for his branches. You are the branches. I am a branch. We are the branches. And we can allow ourselves to become dead and fruitless. But if we allow ourselves to cooperate with the pruning that God does in our lives, we want God to cut out on this level. And new growth will grow. But if God has to cut out right where we connect with Jesus to preserve his vine, that's the place where we don't want to be. So I want to challenge you this coming year to examine ourselves and see the areas that God is pruning in us. I get very frustrated and I get very emotional when I'm preparing to speak and it doesn't just come like that. I get very frustrated and I get very tempted, and this is when you find when there are pastors out there that aren't deeply connected with God, and you know they actually download sermons off the internet, and I have like a timeline I must follow. You know, Sunday's coming every week. You know, Sunday comes whether you're ready for it or not. How important it is to maintain that connection with God, because the rhythm of life comes and there's going to be a time when God will require us to be fruitful. The word says to be ready for the word in season and out of season. I get so frustrated, and I was praying and I was crying out, and I just don't understand, God, why, like, you know, usually when you speak to me, I just get it, you know, but this week it was different. This week it was, no, there's something different about truly abiding and waiting and remaining and staying still with Jesus. So we're going to examine ourselves, and some of these areas might be in us. There might be some sins that we need to allow God to cut out. You know, I mean, keeping it 100, God and I, we gotta cut some things out. You know, maybe that's part of my problem. You know, maybe there's that just, we're trying too hard. We're trying too much. We're doing too many things. And the quality of our fruit, it's not going to be acceptable. You know, so, But I hope to God that none of us have reached that point where we're so proud and we think so highly of ourselves. Oh, yeah, I'm producing a lot of fruit. In reality, we look like this to God. You know, so I don't know, like, this is a time to really reflect and to cooperate. So, I'm just gonna pray that God would reveal his heart to us right now. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you desire to be known by us, oh God, that you just make things so clear, that you use pictures that we would understand from real life examples, God. So we just thank you for how just great you are and how much you want us to succeed. You want us to prosper, God. You want us to be more fruitful, God. Lord, you care about the quality of our fruit. Lord, you care so much about us, God, and you prune us out of love. You prune us in the early stages, God, so that it doesn't become too late, so that we don't get cut off, so that we don't become useless, God. Lord, you've prepared good things for us. Lord, you've prepared so many good things for us, God. So right now, I pray, God, that you would just open the eyes of our hearts, open the ears of our hearts. Let us understand what the Spirit is saying to us today, God. Lord, we want the good things for this coming year. We want to be effective. We want answered prayer. We want the Father to be glorified through our lives, God. We want to experience that joy, God. Lord, no longer do I want to go to bed and just be stressed out and just have anxiety and worriedness in my spirit, God. Lord, we just want more of you, God. We want more of your joy. We want more of that life-giving Spirit flowing through us, God. Lord, help us to trust in you, God. Lord, help us to cooperate with the cutting, God. Lord, it might sting for a moment, God, but Lord, we know that in the end it will yield more fruit, greater fruit, God. So that's what we're seeking for you for this year, God. Lord, reveal to us, God, what you are doing. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh God. God, Jesus. Lord, you are the vine. You are the vine, Jesus. So, Jesus reveals himself as the true vine. Israel understood themselves to be many vines in God's vineyard. And Jesus is transforming that paradigm. It's not, you are not simply in God's vineyard as individual vines in the vineyard. But there is one vine. And that was Jesus. And our state of connection with God is not, it's no longer about being physically present in the geographical location of Israel. It's about being connected to Jesus. And that's what's important now to really focus about. Jesus is saying this. This is the last thing that he shares with his disciples before going to the cross. And then he will come back. The resurrection happens, and he spends 10 more days with his disciples before going up again and being ascended. And there will be a time, Jesus knowing the course of history, God knowing all things, there will be a time when Israel will no longer be, you know, the Israel that they depended on, the Israel that these Jewish people who were waiting on a Messiah, they had this belief that, you know, this geographical location was centric to being close to God. But Jesus is switching that paradigm and saying it's no longer about where you are, but whose you are. So as we enter this year, I strongly encourage you just to remain connected to the vine. Abide in the vine. Amen.